Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America.
Hello, everyone. I don't know if I told you, but part of my bucket list was to buy a farm. A couple of years ago, my husband and I bought a farm in Northwest Florida. We love it. It's wonderful. And we grow fruit trees, and they are beautiful. And after the hurricane, of course, they were in shock and didn't produce very much. But this year was a banner year. Oh, my goodness, they are gorgeous. We have oranges and peaches and grapefruits and cherries and pears and you name it, we've got it. Well, the other day I went out into the woods. We have a woods behind our house. We have about 5 acres that we grow on, and the rest of it is woods that unfortunately was destroyed during Hurricane Michael. But I pointed out and I said to my husband, look at all those cocoons. And he said, well, someday there'll be butterflies. And I said, how exciting. Isn't that wonderful? Yesterday, I walked outside and the whole wall of my house was covered with caterpillars. And so we ran to the garden, and sure enough, the garden was filled with caterpillars, and we started pulling them off and unfortunately stepping on them. And we went out to the orchard, and that was filled with caterpillars, and we had to pull them off and step on them also. And I thought to myself, wow, it is so sad that we have to kill these beautiful creatures because someday they will turn into the most magnificent butterflies. And then I stepped back and I said, wow, isn't that like what is just going on at the border? Here we have an influx, an invasion of people, young children who someday may grow up to be the most magnificent people in the world. But at what expense? Because caterpillars eat everything in its path. They destroy, and they would destroy all of our food and all of our orchard that we spent hours and an untold amount of money on producing. And here we have this influx of immigrants, this invasion of illegals who are basically doing the exact same thing to the United States. What a shame. Because the emotion of doing it was horrible. But if we didn't, the outcome would have been worse. And it is so sad to see those children down on the border. But I know that if we do not do something to stop this invasion, then we are going to face the same fate that that invasion of caterpillars did to my farm. Well, folks, you're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the prism of America's education. It's very difficult to understand the deep roots of communism in our schools today because the educators are very, very careful not to use the word communism. The American approach to education uses the scientific method of deductive reasoning, whereby many theories are tied until the unknown outcome emerges. The communist approach, on the other hand, uses the Pavlov-Skinner method, whereby the desired outcome is known in advance and the theory is designed to fit that outcome. This process is called outcome-based education. Another name for it is mastery learning, and another name for it is training. And we see this communist method used in our schools today under the guise of critical race theory, 1619 Project, B BLM curricula where the outcome must be America is racist and whiteness is the problem. All of America's problems today can be traced back to the same 45 goals of communism that I keep on saying over and over again. Why am I telling you this? I keep the 45 goals of communism on my desk, and every time an incident happens, I can point to one of those goals. And so I know exactly what's going on, and I can prepare for what it is. Because this purpose of this reading was to serve as a reference and a reminder to show the intent of communists and their constant quest to transform America into a communist country. The goals, remember, are from Cleon Skousen's research, and he was the author who wrote The Naked Communist. These goals have been adopted by the Democrat Party, and they have been implemented across America. Goals 17 to 32 are a direct assault on American history, American values, culture, and religion. And they use the public system as the transmitter of this propaganda. The purpose of the shift to communism was to ensure an underclass. Remember, communists cannot tolerate competition. They cannot tolerate free thinking. All people must think the same. They must worship the government, the state. The state is in control. All products, all distribution, all activity must belong to the state. And how do they do this? They tell you, they tell us that it must be done under the name of fairness. So dumbing the population is the objective, because remember, the dumber the people are, the less they require from their government. And in 1989, education was changed from educating students for life to training students to work, from individualism to collectivism, from fact to feelings and emotion. November 2nd, 1989, at the Governors Association on Education, Bill Clinton was presiding over that meeting. He was governor. And George W. H. Bush, 41, was the president. The presentation was given by a woman by the name of Shirley McCune, and that is Shirley McCune, from the McReel, McReel Foundation. Look that up on YouTube. You can see it in her own words. What did Shirley believe? She believed that students were human capital and therefore must be trained to work. Individual life is not important. Only the group matters. At this point, whistleblower Charlotte Iserby documented her findings when she was the senior policy analyst under President Reagan. Charlotte put together an incredible website called deliberatedumbingdown.com, and she wrote about the process to be used to accomplish the goal that I spoke about, which was called outcome-based education, aka mastery learning. You can find that booklet that she wrote on her website, and it's called Back to Basics, or OBE, Outcome-Based Education. The implementation of these goals is in violation of a Florida statute. And I'm beginning to wonder how many states around have the same statutes. Go look up Florida Statute 876.01 and see if your state has a statute that addresses communism as this one does. The problem is, it's hard to implement unless you understand the goals and the implementation of communism, the methodology of communism, the theory of communism. Once you grasp that, then you can see how the goals have interplayed and make the violation of this statute absolutely front and center. Communism forces humans to be the same, and that's totally against natural human instincts. Sameness eliminates our natural instinct of curiosity, of innovation and exploration, because humans are reduced to objects. Communism forces the students to be exactly the same. It forces humans to be the same, which is totally against human instincts. Sameness eliminates our natural instinct of curiosity, innovation, and exploration, as humans are reduced to objects, or as William Federer calls us, subjects. The group becomes dominant, not the individual. And when the individual destiny is chosen by the government, humans need a replacement to fill the need to feel important, because human instinct, human nature wants that human being to feel important. So what do these students do now? They use drugs, they tattoo, they pierce, they drink, and they use sex for their replacement. So how do you normalize this behavior? Go right back to school, take a look at goals 17, 26, and 27. Instead of sex ed being focused on hygiene and biology like it used to be when I was a kid in school, texts now teach explicitly how to have sex with any age person or any gender. Having sex in your family is fine. Having sex with a relative is fine. Having sex with the same people is fine. Having sex with youngsters, adults, having sex with youngsters is fine, because it is normalized in school. And if used outside of school, these books would be considered pornography, and the person showing them to the children would wind up in jail. The Obama administration, through Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, gave grants to local media centers to include pop culture. Instead of including pop culture with classics, they eliminated the classics and replaced it only with pop culture. What a travesty. Pornography then now can be viewed by any age student. So a kindergartner can come into the media center and thumb through a book with lots of pictures showing them how to have sex. That is also a violation of Florida statutes. And I will bet that you have many statutes in your states prohibiting pornography to be given to children. And yet, here it is, the same pornography in our schools. If you go to the Florida Citizens Alliance website, GoFLCA, and type in the words objectionable material in the space bar, you will find the list of the books that we went through in 2018. And we pulled out those passages to show what was being taught to our children in school. By shifting the focus of the three R's and learning of facts, individual responsibility, and deductive reasoning, also known as the scientific method, was changed into sight and feelings and collectivism and outcome-based responses. Today, students are ill-prepared for the challenges that life demands. Due to the grading system in Florida, and I'm wondering how many other states, schools are graded on a curve. What does that mean? That means that a school district getting a 55% is in the upper tier and could receive an A rating. I don't know about you, but when I went to school, a 55% was an F. And the children are no longer proficient in reading and math. Graduating students now enter college or the workplace, and they need remediation because they are unable to follow and read simple directions. Mediocrity is the king, as children are given trophies because they participated, not because they excelled. It is evident today in our government and businesses as we see mistake after mistake after mistake, and no one can figure out the proper way, the appropriate way to doing something. Unfortunately, the human desire to be important or successful becomes so frustrating that students are now turning to sex and drugs and suicide. And now the trained students are trained to fit into a particular job. And what happens? They become apathetic. They feel that their lives have no purpose because they cannot control their own destiny. They feel hopeless, and they must replace that feeling with something because factual information, aka truth, is missing. And truth is universal. If you know that the truth is that the moon will always be in shining at night, you will always be able to see it. It doesn't happen just in your state. It happens all over the world. That's a truth. That's a fact. It ties people together. And today, because factual information is missing, students are no longer educated. They cannot make common sense decisions. So they turn on their emotions. They are taught to be victims. They focus their anger visually and emotionally on race. And these curricular changes encourage students to blame someone else for their plight while turning to school-sanctioned sex and hatred. Sex feels good. Drugs feel good. And brilliant minds are hopelessly lost. The destruction of American values through culture shifts from freedom and liberty as laid out in the U.S. Constitution, as taught through the teachings of morality by belief in family, belief in God, belief in country, are eliminated. By knowing history, we learn, we must know that if we do not stop the transformation of America from a loving society to hatred, rioting, racism, and sex will follow. Many of the states have the right statutes. The problem is the wrong people are there, and therefore those statutes do not get implemented. Folks, that's up to us. Remember, we say politics is local? Well, school boards are local. And don't tell me, I don't have any children in school, so it's not my deal. Wrong answer. That is absolutely not true. Are you paying taxes? Because if you are paying taxes, then obviously you have a vested right in finding out what is being taught in your school. And I urge you, go to school board meetings, run for school board. And if anyone living in Florida is interested in running for school board, we are starting an initiative. We're putting the website together. I will make an announcement when it is ready. But please contact me. You can contact me at any time through my email, which is kbshone@bellsouth.net. Tell me, I live in Florida. I want to run for school board. We will be happy to train you. We will work with you. We will show you the important information that is necessary for you to become elected. Folks, now is not the time to sit on your hands. This is it. America is up to us to save. There isn't going to be any white knight on a horse. President Trump can only do so much. Locally, it's up to us. This is Karen Schoen, and you are listening to The Prism of America's Education. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen, and you have been listening to The Prism of America's Education. And speaking of education, my very favorite topic, I am so proud of our Florida governor. He has actually been paying attention. He knows what's going on, and he is not afraid to use the words Marxist communist, especially when referring to the BLM curricula and the 1619 Project, which is nothing more than a theory. It is not based in fact. There are no facts behind it. And the idea of promoting America's students to hate their country, to hate their families, to hate their neighbors is an atrocity and must be stopped. And I am, as I said before, very proud of Governor DeSantis for making that an issue and for making sure that the teachers have the appropriate curricula to work from. I have invited Dominique Clemens on the show, and we will be speaking to her. I wanted to know how the millennials feel about this project, the 1619 and BLM, and of course, President Trump's project of 1776. So Dominique, thank you so much for joining me today. It is a pleasure as always. And before we go any further, Dominique, please tell everyone about Liberty Scholar, because that is your initiative and it is wonderful.
Thanks, Karen, so much for having me. Yes, I work for Florida Citizens Alliance, and we have started an initiative this past year called Liberty Scholar. And Liberty Scholar is an online resource for parents, libertyscholar.org. They can look it up. It provides information on Florida scholarships, step-by-step on how to start homeschooling, so much information on different alternatives to the public school, especially now that so many schools are shut down or have all these different regulations. Parents who are looking for alternatives and solutions, absolutely take a look at Liberty Scholar, because it's got all the information you could possibly need.
Dominique, this doesn't just refer to Florida. If a parent is from out of state, they can use this information as well. Am I correct?
Absolutely. There is some information that's tailored to Florida, such as the scholarships, but there's also a lot of information that parents can take anywhere. For example, some of all our alternatives that we provide, Classical Conversations, we have partnered with them. They're a nationwide homeschooling program that I absolutely recommend. Freedom Project Academy, they're also a nationwide virtual program that I recommend as well. And so those are different programs you can sign up through Liberty Scholar that are available to anybody.
Oh, that is wonderful. And folks, as I keep on saying, use Florida as a model. If these initiatives are not in your state, feel free to take anything from the Florida Citizens Alliance website and tailor it for your state. That's how we start. Working together is what makes America work. So as a millennial, how do you feel about what Governor DeSantis has just decided that must be put in Florida schools regarding our history and civics?
I am so thrilled that somebody is finally standing up to this craziness. I love that he called them wacko theories. Governor DeSantis really is taking a stand for my generation and younger generations. And the thing that's so frustrating is that there's so many other politicians who do see what's going on, but they're too afraid for their own career. They're afraid, you know, of being politically incorrect, that they won't say anything. When it's my generation who's being brainwashed, it's generations younger who are being brainwashed. People recognize this is literally like 1984. And it's so crazy to think that it's my friends, my coworkers, and, you know, my kids who are so highly at risk from all of this craziness that's just spiraling. And if we don't have leaders like Governor DeSantis who put an end to it, you know, it's just getting out of control. This curriculum, I believe, is insidious. It's absolutely racist. The critical race theory stuff, I can't believe that it's being taught to children. And so I'm just thrilled that we actually have a leader here in Florida who's willing to stand up for the kids.
I am also. And if you do not live in the state of Florida, go to myfloridahouse.gov and look up H.R. 5. That is the new bill that is going through right now, both the House and the Senate, and they are identical. And they address the teaching of civics, and it will soon become a law that Florida students must learn the true American history and the true Florida history. And by the way, Florida was not part of the original 13 colonies. And when a Black person, a Negro at that time, came to the state of Florida in the 1800s, they were not slaves. They were free individuals. So we have to know our history. And I'm wondering also, how many of our legislators, how many of our Floridians have actually read the Florida Constitution? And that's another thing. Whatever state you are living in, your state has a constitution. It would be in your best interest, first of all, to read it, but to make sure that your legislators have read your own state constitution. You will be very surprised to see a lot of the things that are in there and a lot of the statutes that are part of this as well. Florida even has a statute called 876.01, which addresses communism. I keep on repeating that over and over again. If your state does not have a statute like that, please copy ours and start pushing it through your state as well. Now, cancel culture is all part of communism because it propagandizes people and pushes them into a group. And Domini, I know you come from a very large family. So how do you feel about not being able to call your parents mom and dad, or parents, or your siblings sister and brother? I mean, that must be a horrible feeling to go through in your own family, as we are told that we must cancel these words.
I know, Karen, it's literally, it's insanity. I was going through a PDF that I found from this church. It's called, or it's a school, it's Grace Church School. It's a private K-12 school in Manhattan. And they released their guidance to teachers and parents and students for how people should start to call each other. And it was just the perfect example to show people exactly how far these people are taking, you know, the political correctness. So I wanted to share a few examples from there, from this guidebook that they have up at this Grace Church school. So for example, the terms mom and dad and parents are no longer acceptable in what they call a welcoming and inclusive school, and they must be replaced with grown-ups, folks, family, or guardians. You also can't say boys or girls, and you also can't say happy holiday because it assumes somebody actually has a religion. So the teachers are only allowed to say have a great break instead of happy holiday. So taking it a step further, they also have a whole list of outdated terms. Some of these are the traditional family, real parents, sexual preference is outdated, homosexual, outdated, colorblind, Caucasian, colored people, handicapped, special needs, mentally impaired. These are all outdated terms you're not allowed to use anymore. And then they say, quote, "We know this guide is not exhaustive and language is constantly evolving." And when I saw that, I just thought, you know, again, 1984, it never stops. It is constantly evolving. They change words, they change definitions. Nothing is ever good enough. This cancel culture, you know, it's just a spiral and it's so destructive.
It certainly is. And the real goal of cancel culture is so that people will not have a conversation like you and I are having right now. Because when people talk to each other, and come up with a conclusion that this is insanity. This is ridiculous. I'm not doing it. My mother is my mother. My father is my father. I love both my parents. And your family unit then becomes distorted, misguided. And kids now have no frame of reference of morality, because that's really what the whole moral fiber of America focused on, was a strong family unit. And instead of going out, for example, and I know this is a horrible thing to say, my heart goes out to the people in Colorado who were killed. That was awful. But it isn't the gun's fault. It's the lack of conversation, the lack of the ability of people to communicate. And when people are literally stuck in their own group and they can't get out of that group, there's no growth. There's no acceptance. There's no ability to communicate and, of course, be able to have any opposition. And that's the root of everything. There In a communist society, there is never an allowance for communication and opposition. You made a reference to 1984, and that's exactly what 1984 was all about. What are people communicating with? They're communicating with machines. I'm going to read you a sentence, and I want to know what you think about that. It says, "Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the Marxist seed that I have sown will never be uprooted." And Vladimir Lenin, who is the father of communism, said this and put this in the universities and told them to follow his advice. And I believe that this is what we are now suffering. What do you think, Dominique?
I absolutely think we should not underestimate that statement, because we've seen it happen in our universities. 4 years, and these, you know, people are seeing their grandkids, their own kids, totally turning against everything that they brought them up to believe, everything, all their values and their family values. And so that's just the 4 years in higher education. And a lot of people do recognize that there's a lot of radical ideas being taught there. But we need to remember that for those 4 years can also happen back in high school, in grade school, in elementary school, when they're really grooming the children to be very susceptible to these crazy ideas. Critical thinking is not a skill that's really being taught anymore. Our kids can barely read at grade level or do math at grade level. And then we're passing them along each grade. We're not holding kids back. And then we pass them into the higher education system, where they're so susceptible to these very radical Marxist professors who are pushing this kind of indoctrination down their throats. And so I think we have to take that quote very seriously and understand that it really only takes a few years to change somebody's mind against all of their beliefs into a very radical ideology. And it can totally destroy our society if we let it happen.
I think that is exactly what is happening right now. And it makes me so sad to see that former President Obama is nothing more than a hate monger. This is always the constant pitting of one race against the other, of one group against another. This is the way communism works. This is the foothold of communism. Erase the individual and substitute the individual for the group. And what happens when you step outside the group mentality? You get ostracized. Is that what is going on in school? How does a child express their individual opinion in a school setting like that?
I don't think they can. Really, you know, there's so much pressure for a lot of these students, and the ones that do typically make the news. You know, I hear students all the time, but still very few in between, who actually stand up to a professor or maybe ask a question in the classroom, and they either get sent outside of the classroom, they're told to shut up, sit down, be quiet, don't ask questions, because even some of these teachers have their hands tied behind their backs by a lot of this crazy curriculum, by the teachers' unions, by their administrators. And so when kids start asking questions outside the box, you know, the teachers just have to say, hey, shut up and stop asking questions, because they really can't answer them. That happens all the time. It's happened to my siblings time and time again. We're very curious people, so we've always been asking lots of questions. And that's frustrating for these teachers when, you know, the materials that they're teaching are very black and white. You know, oppression in America is very black and white. They don't teach the other side that, you know, we were able to overcome a lot of trials in the early stages of America, that we've actually grown to be one of the greatest nations in the world because of our founding fathers, because of our Constitution. They don't teach that side of it. They just teach the oppression side of it. And if you want to ask questions about the other side of the story, there are no answers. There's a lot of, you know, shut up and sit down. So it's very intimidating for students. And then to be teaching such radical indoctrination, such as the 1619 Project, Critical Race Theory, BLM, that's a culture movement as well. So kids are posting this kind of stuff on Instagram, to come to school and have that taught. It feels like you really can't speak out, or you're not only going to drop your grades, but you're going to lose all your friends. That's the way that they've turned this so extremely against, you know, millennials and Gen Z.
Yes. And turning people against each other is exactly what allows this silence to occur, because you're afraid. You go to a meeting, or you go to a group session or whatever, and you're afraid to speak because you don't know who in that room is going to turn you in. This is a Marxist Nazi ideology of being a police. You're the thought police, you're the word police, and you have to turn in your friends, your neighbor, your family. So what happens when that happens is you don't talk anymore. And it's very sad. And I have many friends and even my family that don't talk to me anymore because I keep on bringing up this subject. And when they talk about race and how America is a racist country, I always ask them, if America is such a racist country, then how are we allowing mixed marriages? What happens to the offspring of those marriages? So how is that possible? Because in a purely racist country, those things would not be allowed. We're coming to the end of the segment, Dominique. So please tell everyone again where they can find you and where they can find Liberty Scholar. And thank you.
Thank you, Karen, again, so much for having me. One quick thing I'd love to say about this critical race theory, the cancel culture, everything we've been talking about. I encourage people to visit goflca.com, or you can visit libertyscholar.org. Both of them are ways to contact me. But if you go to libertyscholar.org and click on the contact button, I really encourage parents to please email us with examples of what's being taught in your child's classroom. So if you see some of this crazy stuff in a worksheet or something that's online, please capture that and send it in so that we can expose what's going on inside the classroom.
That would be absolutely great. Thank you, Dominique, for joining me. This is Karen Schoen. You have been listening to the Prism of America's Education, and we'll be right back.
Fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. And like us, we're pretty sure you're not happy about any of it. But this is the America we now find ourselves in. AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen, and you're listening to the Prism of America's Education. We have been talking a lot about education, and part of education is property rights. What are property rights? Does that just mean the house you belong to? Does it just mean the condo you're living in and the fact that you're paying taxes? No, it does not, although that may be what you are led to believe. Property rights means you and everything you own. And that's very important because the human nature is that people want to have skin in the game. Otherwise, why bother? When I was growing up, a new complex was built we called the Projects. And I was real happy that we would be having new neighbors. But this was a huge rental unit. So everybody there was a renter. And within 2 years, you would not have believed what that place looked like. Why? Because there was no ownership. There was no vested interest. People didn't take part. They didn't participate. And when that happens, the community loses wealth and stability and respect. And then people lose the fruits of their labor. Well, that's what communists desire because they don't want you to own anything. Why? Because they believe that ownership is unfair. It's only unfair because they don't own it. And in reality, that's all they want. So under the guise of equality and redistribution, incentive dies. Maurice Strong, who was the former UN Secretary General, he was an oil billionaire. And what did they do? They went after the fossil fuel industry, which I just read now is racist. Why did he go after the fossil fuel industry? Because he didn't want competition. What did he say about land? He said land, because of its unique nature and critical role that it plays in human settlements, cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth and therefore contributes to social injustice. If unchecked, it may become a major obstacle in the planning and implementation of development schemes, social justice, urban renewal and development, and the provision of decent dwellings and healthy conditions for the people can only be achieved if land is used in the interest of society as a whole. So redistribution must occur. And that was from good old Maurice Strong. Well, as we all know, I have been paying attention to a lot of the bills that are happening and going on in the state of Florida, but mostly with education. And I have been telling everyone to take a look at the bills that we have in Florida, take a look at the statutes, take a look at the things that are being passed, and check in your state and see if you have the same thing. And if you don't, use this as a template and go forward. And I have invited my very good friend, Sally Baptiste, who is also the producer of American Statesman on Blog Talk Radio, to join me today because she has been doing and paying a lot of attention to the property rights bills that are going forward in Florida. What is happening in your state? What's going on with the zoning? That is of utmost importance. So, Sally, what is new in the property rights arena in the state of Florida?
Well, Karen, it's interesting. You know, Florida, we're doing a lot of things right compared to the country, but we still have some other challenges. and property is a big part of it. Property as in real estate property. right now, there was this massive thing, pet project, nothing but pork, passed last year in Florida. Again, so many people fighting it to build toll roads, which we're going to draw through some of the more rural and native areas of Florida. So just no reason to do it except that it was all a pet project for someone. And I mention this because in these kind of deals, this is where this is another game when it comes to property, because this was a pet project, and we'll get into maybe a little bit more of it later. The game that goes on when it comes to real estate land is the wealthy people who buy up all this land, then they wheel and deal and do all the games with the politicians, and then they sell the land back to the state for mega bucks. It's just a scam going on out there. And that's another way of using property rights, but it's not quite the one we're talking about here. There's a bill out there right now. It's Senate Bill 496 in Florida, where they do comprehensive planning. And we would need several hours to talk about what comprehensive planning means, because the state has their big comprehensive plan, then the municipalities have theirs and all this other stuff, and how they're going to grow the community. And people will chime in on what they like or don't like, but what their comprehensive plans are. But then the politicians do whatever they feel like anyway. In this particular case, there is actually some stipulation to protect individual property rights, because basically what happens now is they change the zoning on the property you already have. They change zoning all over the place. You don't have the right to do anything on your own property, or they'll take it away from you through eminent domain. Eminent domain is one of the most abused things out there when it comes to property rights and things like this that are going on all over the place. But in this particular bill, the Senate Bill 496, they've made provisions. The state is telling the local municipalities, as part of your comprehensive plan, you have to ensure property right. And I'm still studying up on it, because this is legal mumbo jumbo, the way they write this stuff. We know all how that stuff goes. But there's a couple of key points, and I was going to go ahead and read some of these and why this is important. And I have to calm down. I get too annoyed with this stuff, and then I want to scream.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's comprehensive plan, a property rights element to ensure that private property rights are considered in local decision and making. A local government may adopt its own property rights element or use the following statement of rights. The following rights shall be considered in local decision making: the right of the property owner to physically possess and control his or her interest in the property, including easements, leases, or mineral rights. 2, the right of the property owner to use, maintain, develop, and improve his or her property for personal use or to use for other person subject to state law and local ordinances. Local ordinances can be a fun one there. The 3, the right of the property owner to privacy and to exclude others from property to protect the owner's possessions and property. That's kind of a mouthful there. I'm going to say that one again because it is a mouthful. The right of the property owner to privacy and to exclude others from the property to protect the owner's possessions and property. That's kind of like the stand your ground kind of thing. The right of property owner to dispose of his or her property through sale or gift. And then that goes into this next. Each local government must adopt a property rights element in its comprehensive plan by the earlier of its adoption of its next proposed plan amendment that is initiated after July 1st, 2021, or the next scheduled evaluation and appraisal of its comprehensive plan, blah, 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 blah. And then it goes into some of these other things. But those pieces that I read there to say that they can't simply come in and take it over.
Isn't it really amazing that they're in this bill, they're giving us the rights that we already should have?
Exactly.
As you were reading, I'm going, wait a minute. We're supposed to have that already. Isn't it sad, however good, that it is actually being put in a bill, but these are rights that we should have under property ownership? Amazing.
And I'm going back a couple of years. There was a big deal about the comprehensive plan process. And I mean, there was a group of us really fighting to protect our rights. And the state and the local governments should not have just free rein to go, well, here's what we're going to allow you to build here. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And that's what they've been allowed to do. And so even if you own property, you don't have any property rights. And of course, I'm one of these big, I don't know if you want to call it, what's the right word for it? a concern. I'll just say I'm extremely annoyed by property taxes, because when you, the way they handle property taxes is you truly never own your property anyway, because you could pay off your mortgage or, you know, own the land, the house, whatever. But if you don't pay your property taxes, the state or the local municipality can come take it over. And there's something wrong there too. And I think this is where, I don't know if it's Tom Deweese that has the information on this or not, but where they shouldn't be allowed to do that. How can they go and do this and take your property when you bought it and paid for it, because they say you're not doing you're not paying property taxes. So you never truly own it. You rent the property, the land, from the county or the state. It's another very big challenge. I don't see how that can be allowed either, but it does. So when I think of property rights, how much do I really ever get to own any kind of land in this country? Where do you own land in here where the state can't come and take it in if you didn't pay taxes on it?
I don't think there's any place that can happen. And that is, you're absolutely right. How do you own your property if the state can take it away at any time?
Yeah, and I believe this is kind of where she's leading to, is you spend all this money, you pay and pay and pay. You work hard, you do what you're supposed to do, you maintain your house, you finally get it paid off, you're retired, and something may happen and you're not able to pay the taxes one year, and now the state has a vested interest in your property, and they shouldn't be allowed to do that.
No, not at all.
Absolutely not. No. And I'll let you finish what you're saying, but then we're going to talk about what Washington said about property as well.
No, you're absolutely right. And I go back to this is how the government gains control. And this is how communism really takes a foothold. And part of the problem, or I would even say the majority of the problem, is we, the people, not paying attention to what's going on in our local communities. And once you give up your local community, you're finished. So, folks, as I will say over and over again, how many of you have gone to commissioner meetings? How many of you have gone to zoning meetings? Do you even know the zoning rights in your community? If we don't pay attention to what is going on in our local community, what's the difference? What does it matter?
Yeah, you've, in essence, surrendered your rights to them to do whatever they feel like. And people say, well, they're there to represent us. Well, yeah, they're supposed to represent what we want, not what they want or what their friends want. Here in Orlando, Orange County, it's such a mess. And they have so many special deals when it comes to property development, growth management, which is what comprehensive planning is all about. It's growth management. And I step back, because growth management and transportation go hand in hand. I step back and say, okay, what do we want the role of government when it comes to property and land? I mean, do you really want, okay, you've got, you know, 10 acres that you live on here, and then the next owner next to you owns, I don't know, 200 acres, whatever it may be, and you have your house, you've been living there for 20 years, and now they want to put some kind of automobile plant right next to you. Where is that fine line of how we manage the growth? Because personally, if I'm living on a 10-acre ranch and someone's building an automobile factory right next to me, that might impact my quality of life and my rights. How is that invading my space, if you want to use it that way? So how does, you're free to do whatever you want until it's going to impact the other person, right? Until it starts to impact others in some negative way.
And so, for many people that think, what's the big deal? Think about what the value of your property, how it reduces the value of your property when these projects are put in your area. And believe me, they are not put in the gated communities. They're not put in the affluent communities. They are not put in the communities of the county commissioners. They're put in our communities. Go to those meetings. I cannot stress that strong enough.
Exactly. So the playbook, the comprehensive plan, should be to say, okay, this is how many square miles of Orange County, Orlando, whatever it may be. This is this land, and here's how we want to develop it to have a high quality of life, to have a safe place to live, to have jobs, you know, things, all these different pieces. So there really is a valid reason for a comprehensive plan. But these people who are in the driver's seat aren't usually thinking about what we want or our property rights, or they say, well, we're going to go build over here. We're going to give this developer the rights to build, you know, 500 homes over here. Oh, we don't have a school. Well, we have these houses over here. We're just going to take those people's property, throw them out in the street, and then we're going to build that. That's where we should build the school. So we're going to get them out of the way. This is the games they play instead of managing it. And then when they were changing the zoning, they do their best to not let people know. I mean, I don't know. I can tell you how many times I've seen it here in Central Florida where they put public hearing notice. It will be in almost like a 3 font. When you're driving down the road in the car, you don't see the sign. They don't want you to, but they have to post the sign. So they do their best, and they'll only post one. It might be covering 50 acres, but they'll put one sign up because they don't want you to know. And it takes a lot of time to get engaged and follow what they're doing. I know, because I've been doing it a lot around here in Orange County. And especially this COVID stuff, they were able to get by, they get stuff out there all over the place because no in-person, you know, you couldn't go directly to the commission meetings. And what I was seeing, what little bit I was seeing on their online virtual meetings, it's just not the same as to when you can be there face-to-face with these people and address what they're doing and build a case and get a bunch of people together. When you have that commission room filled with people in opposition, it's a whole lot different than seeing a face scattered about throughout the county when it just doesn't do the same. It doesn't. And they don't care. They really don't care. And they will manipulate their rights to take away your property for what they want to do. And it's disgusting.
It Absolutely. Is disgusting. And unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the show. Sally, I'm going to have you come back because this is so important. I don't think people really understand the value of property rights and what it actually means and how important it is and what's going to happen as all of these illegals start being dumped into our cities. But that's another discussion for another time. So, Sally Baptiste, thank you so much.
Can I throw in one thing real quick?
Throw in one thing real quick.
Very quick. George Washington, President George Washington, if you do not have the right to own property, you do not have liberty. Yeah, the two things go hand in hand.
Absolutely. And that is why our Constitution was written the way it was. And that is why we are supposed to have our property rights. Remember, life, liberty, and it was usually the pursuit of property. It was changed to the pursuit of happiness so that that would encompass all your property. You, yourself, and where you live. Thank you for joining me today. It has been a pleasure as always. This is Karen Schoen, and you have been listening to The Prism of America's Education. But,